This morning, our scripture lesson is Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are three concepts that are very unpopular today, or at least I perceive them to be unpopular. Those concepts are obedience, suffering, perfection. Yet that was exactly what was required of Jesus. You know, there are aspects of being like Jesus that are very appealing. But if we would be like Jesus, we're called to obey Jesus' teachings, command, and example. If we would be like Jesus, we knowingly offer ourselves to suffer for Jesus. If we would be like Jesus, we pursue perfection. Now, I'm not going to preach a whole sermon on this point, but I am going to expound just a little bit. I did have just a bullet point in my manuscript, but I'm going to expand just a little bit. I mean, it's usually the ad-libbing that gets me in trouble, but I'll take a chance. When we talk about pursuing perfection, I mean we pursue perfection. So many times as human beings, we say, "I'm pursuing perfection, but I know I'm never going to reach it." So you know what that means? You're not pursuing it. Because you've already told yourself, "I'm not going to make it." So if we know we're not going to make something, why are we going to waste our time and energy pursuing it? We use the word pursue as in, "Yeah, I would like to be there, but I know I'm never going to make it." So when we say pursue perfection, that means, yes, I know my own human strength, I'm not able, but through the Holy Spirit of God, by George, I'm going for it. I am going for it. Our scripture lesson is the end of the section of Hebrews describing Jesus as the great high priest. Chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 describes Jesus as being tempted in every way that we are, yet without committing sin. The author goes on to assert that because of Jesus' victory of not committing sin, though truly tempted, we can have confidence and assurance of an understanding God hearing our prayers. Then chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 describes the priesthood and says that priests are from among the people and therefore deal with the same life and sin, and one does. So no one holds the priesthood unless called and directed by God. After making sacrifice for their own sin, the priests then offer sacrifice for the sins of the people. Then in verses 5 through 10 of chapter 5, it describes the saving work of Jesus the high priest as not only being called by God, but being from God and having lived as we live, he is able to be patient and gentle with us. For the remainder of our focus this morning, I feel led to focus on verses 7 through 10. So hear those verses again. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So I ask us this morning. Notice I said I ask us. I ask us this morning, do we really want to be like Jesus? Do we really want to be like Jesus? It is commonly thought that the author of Hebrews had either heard the stories of Jesus called the oral tradition before the gospel accounts were written, or the author had access to the gospel accounts. Verse 7 obviously sounds a whole lot like a summary of Jesus praying in the garden the night of his arrest and hours before his crucifixion. If we would really seek to be like Jesus, we will accept, and I want you to hear this now. Now, this is not comfortable for me to preach any more than it is for you to hear. But it says it right here. If we would really seek to be like Jesus, we will accept the fact that God may not ease our suffering. If our suffering serves the greater purpose of God. I don't like that. Jesus, take it away. Make my life easier. I love you. I'm serving you. So can't you at least ease the suffering stuff? But Hebrews sends us the message that we may cry out to God and God may not take away the suffering if the suffering serves the greater purpose of God. One person writing on the subject said, quote, when Jesus prayed to the one who could save him from death, he did not get that salvation. He got instead the salvation of the world, end quote. Verse 7 is definite that Jesus' prayer was heard, but his request was not granted. Now, though it is true that Jesus knew before he came to earth what his mission entailed, it does not mean that he was eager to carry it out. Jesus was definitely open to the Father, changing the Father's mind and opening up another way, offering another way. Haven't we all had something that we knew we had to do? There was no doubt. We knew we had to do it, but we weren't eager to do it. Have we not all been there? So Jesus prays to the one who had the power to deliver him. And I'm conjecturing here, probably knowing the Father was not going to change his mind, but just in case, he expressed his dread to the Father. Notice what verse 7 says about Jesus' prayer and prayers. He was heard because of his reverent submission. This verse has been translated in many different phrases, but they all boil down to this. Jesus' prayer was heard because he was 100% devoted to the Father, and he trusted the Father 100%. How does that translate to you and I being devoted to 100%? I invite you, if you don't listen to more contemporary radio stations, to YouTube this. But there's a song by a Christian group called Mercy Me. One word, Mercy Me. And they sing a song entitled Bring the Rain. And the refrain says this, quote, "So I pray, bring me joy, bring me peace, bring me the chance to be free, bring me anything that brings you glory." Sounds good so far. And then says, and I know there'll be days when this life brings me pain, but if that's what it takes to bring you glory, bring the rain." I was telling Sally, I didn't tell her I was going to tell on her, but I was telling Sally about this sermon, and we're on the same page most of the time. She says, "I'm not sure I'm quite ready to tell God to bring it." Are you? Are you ready to tell God to bring it? Are we there? Do we even want to be? Jesus, whatever it takes, whatever it takes, I'm at your disposal. Jesus, whatever it takes to bring you glory, I'm there. If my health brings you glory, if my illness brings you glory, I'm there, whatever it takes. If my success brings you glory, if my failure brings you glory, I'm there, whatever it takes. If my life brings you glory, if my death brings you glory, I'm there. Whatever it takes. Jesus was able to say, "Not my will, but yours be done," because he was 100% devoted to the Father, and he trusted the Father 100%. So Jesus said, "I'm there. Whatever it takes." Because of his devotion and trust, Jesus obeyed the Father's call to suffer humiliation, to suffer torture, to suffer death, because the Father said, "That's what it takes." I'm going to ask a pretty point blank question here. And the answer is between you and God, because only you and God know your heart and your motivation. And it's a long question. But hear it. If you say you have never felt the call of God leading you to a ministry, and ministry can be inside or outside of the church, is it because you have never honestly been able to identify God's call on your life, and so whenever there is an opportunity to serve, you serve, seeking to serve God because you've never heard that call? Or, if you are honest, you have heard a call, but you kept it drowned out because you're afraid of what the ramifications of that calling might entail? Only you can answer that question. Only I can answer that question for myself. But you see, if we acknowledge we have a call from God, then we are confronted with, will I obey that call or do I disobey that call? There's no middle ground in there. Do I obey that call or do I disobey that call, particularly if pursuing that call is going to disrupt my life? Have you possibly heard the call of God, but you're not quite at the place where you can say to Jesus, Jesus, I'm there. Whatever it takes. Notice verse 9. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Now that sounds pretty odd, doesn't it? I thought Jesus was already perfect. I mean, just a few verses before, the author has already declared that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, and he didn't commit any sins. That sounds pretty perfect to me. But remember verse 8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Of course, up to this point, Jesus was morally flawless. But he was made perfect in obedience to the suffering which completed his mission. In Jesus' prayer in John 17:4, Jesus says, I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. Jesus had completely fulfilled his mission to this point and was about to obey the final order so that the mission would be complete. So the author says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Can it be said of us that we are being made perfect? Yes, I know that in our humanity we're not flawless. But I want to ask you another question. Not just you, myself. If we knew our death was imminent, could we say, as Jesus said to the Father, I glorified you on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do? Therein lies the calling for all of us. Our ability to be here this morning declares that God is not finished with us. Therefore, our ministry, our service, is not finished. I hope everyone in this room can honestly say, as best as I have understood God's call for my life, I have been faithful to the work. Whatever it takes, I've been there. And I have glorified Christ by fulfilling my ministry. If such is the case, that's to be celebrated. But you're still here this morning. God's not finished with you. Hence, your ministry is not finished. Some might say, if I'm honest, no. I've not always been there for Jesus. I hold back. If that's the case, Jesus is not finished with you yet. You still have a ministry to finish. Are you ready from this day forward to say to Jesus, whatever it takes to bring you glory, I'm there. In Walker Congregation, Jesus is seeking to make us perfect as a church. Yeah, we're still going to disagree once in a while. Yeah, we're still going to debate priorities and policy. But God is not finished with us. There is a ministry to be accomplished through us. As a congregation, are we ready to go wherever it takes to bring Jesus glory? I even step out of my own comfort zone here, ad-libbing again. Are we ready to go and have, if Jesus lays it upon somebody's heart and says, I believe Jesus is calling us to not just have Sunday school here in the church, but Jesus wants us to go out into the neighborhood and have a Sunday school class. If Jesus lays it upon our heart, are we ready to go there? If Jesus says a new clientele is moving into your community, you need to make some tweaks in your worship style in order to still worship me but reach the population. Are we ready to go there? I don't know. I don't know what that call is. Those are just two examples. Those are not promote. Those are not, what's the word I'm looking for since I'm ad-libbing? It's not a proposal, but it is a thought. The point is Walker Congregation, are we ready to say, Jesus, whatever it takes for Walker Church to bring you glory, we're there. Even if it takes us to places unknown, if it brings you glory, we're there. Jesus is not finished with any of us. Therefore, none of our ministries are finished. Are we willing to say and willing to live, Jesus, whatever it takes to bring you glory, I'm there. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, as human beings, we want to find our comfort zone and we want to stay there, preacher included. But gracious Lord, even more important, we want to be able to say when our time is ended on this earth, we want to be able to say, I glorified your name by finishing the work that you gave me to do. You know what that looks like for each of us. And you know those lapses in courage or obedience in each of us. So speak to each of our hearts that individually and as a congregation, we may be able to truly say, whatever it takes to bring you glory, I'm there. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning our altar is open as always. If you feel led to come and pray for any reason, please come as we sing our hymn.